I just had a wonderful conversation with Denise Suba in the sales and promotions department about Paul Blart Mall Cop limits. And much.
Yes. Are there any other mall cops that you would like to offer up for this discussion?
Well, here's the thing. I did it sort of as a lark just to get her to laugh. But she said she loved the movie, Bob, talking about Paul Blart Mall Cop. Bob just came back from a phone call. Talking to Denise in the back about that. She said the sequel, have you seen the sequel? I said, no, I'm very leery of sequels. I didn't want to ruin it. She said it's better. Have you guys seen Paul Blart Mall Cop Part 2?
Not part two, no.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Is it better limits?
Not part two. I've not seen it. But Home Alone, the second movie, people think is better than the first.
I do.
So I can see it.
I think the second one's better.
It's really close. It depends on the year.
What did you think of Meet the Parrots and Meet the Falkers?
That was an example of how it could. Both were great.
Both were great.
What about The Godfather 2?
Well, The Godfather's in a stratosphere all by itself, I think.
What about Back to the Future 2?
Never saw it.
You never saw Back to the Future?
No, I didn't either.
That is my favorite movie. Did you know that?
My favorite movie of all time is the Back to the Future movie. That was Michael J. Fox in his younger days.
Marty McFly.
My favorite one all time movie of all time is Shawshank Redemption. I say
great movie.
Never going to change.
Mine's Almost Famous. I love that movie.
It's a good one.
A great one, Bob.
You guys have
and
never seen.
The kid
seen...
in that movie reminds me of Limits too. The little kid who covers the rock band. Forget his name.
I'd have to get another look. I don't remember.
But the first Paul Blart, you liked it, Bob?
Yeah. I did.
Thought it was funny?
It was good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm normally not interested in sequels just because I always come to the theory that it's not going to be as good. How many lines can you get? Hangover, Hangover 2. Which one?
I didn't see either.
You didn't see Hangover?
No, I never saw it.
Oh, my goodness. I thought if you just love laughing, it's just a funny laughter.
Here's something else I was thinking about. No.
He saw them all.
if he has a lot of time.
He has a lot of time on his hands to see all these movies.
What a wonderful man he is, huh, Bob?
Mr. Cook.
I can't believe you've never seen Back to the Future.
Oh, I've seen Back to the Future, but not two. Of course I've seen Back to the Future.
It's maybe one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great. I'm thinking, and we're going to go to the lines in 1 minute. I've been thinking more about Jim Rooney, Art's brother. I'm friendly with Jim. I like Jim a lot.
He's a very nice man, yes.
But what he said about the fans would, quote, burn the city down if the Steelers endured, I think he said three straight three-win seasons. Now, wait a second, I thought to myself. That's not consistent with the mutual fund approach to a franchise where, hey, we look at this over the long term, okay? I'm your financial advisor, Bob, and this is going to be a little bit volatile at times. You're going to go up, way up some years.
And way down some years.
Super Bowl, yep. And you're going to go way down some years. The Steelers aren't willing to tolerate the way down years. They do everything they can to avoid them. So I don't think what Jim said there, he might be right. You know, of course, we'd all be railing against the Steelers, but hopefully in our sanity, we would be saying this is the way to rebuild it. This is how the 70s Steelers were built. A losing season brought you Ben. A losing season brought you Stanley Cups. Tanking did, in fact. That's not consistent, this aversion at any cost to a losing season is not consistent with the mutual fund approach of let's look at this very calmly over the next 25 years, and if we outperform the mean, we're good. We're going to live with the highs. You win a Super Bowl. We're going to live with 3-13, even a couple years in a row. So I thought that jumped out as not actually, and maybe ironically, not consistent with the approach that they're taking.
You have to endure those, and you have to also strike when you get those. You have to be able to be in a position to then change the direction of your franchise. It's very difficult to change when it's the same every year and the outcomes are the same. You've got to be able to adjust that. And that's I think without being 3 or 5-13 or whatever, they're in that position right now. It's disguised as 10-8.
Right.
But they're in that position and they should look at it that you're not going to be able to
draft.
They're
10-8. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but okay. If you feel like you're in that position, then you got to make moves accordingly. You got to think, okay, this 10-8 is not really reflective of where we are. We are in a drought. We're in a tough situation. We need to change it now.
I mean, I think the numbers may say 10-8 is reflective. That's as mediocre as it gets.
But it's not 5-13. What I'm saying is, right, you have to assume and act as if you're that way. I'm going to do something to change this, and I have to strike and do something different.
I agree. And it's very unnatural to not accept that you're going to have to withstand really low lows. It's not natural. We need to get our friend Andy Fisher on as a financial advisor, because I don't want to overstep my bounds here. But when we go see our financial advisor, he tells us you can either go very conservative here. You're not going to get too many highs or too many lows. You can just keep going. Mm-hmm. But that's not going to be a real big payoff at the end. Or we can take a little bit of risk, some managed risk here, and you're going to get some highs, but you're also going to get some lows, and we'll see where we are.
But
and there's also a law of the universe, Bob. It's called expansion and contraction. You expand, you contract. Everything that expands someday will contract, and those days aren't going to be good, but it's natural. What they're doing, what they're trying to do here—
And going through it makes you better.
Yes.
You have to acknowledge that going through it makes you better.
What they're trying to do is unnatural. We're trying to stay even forevermore. It don't work. That's what I would say to them. You got to be willing to live with the low times instead of these maddeningly mediocre times in Pittsburgh sports. The city of stability for stability's sake. We hire a coach, we stick with him no matter what. Derek Shelton, Pat Narduzzi, Mike Sullivan, Mike Tomlin, forevermore. Let's go to the lines.
Here's Brian in Brookline to start us off.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Well, Joe, Bob, you're either going to laugh me right off this line, or you're going to think I have a good point. So let me just, I need 60 seconds to lay it out for you.
Did you see Paul Blart Mall Cop?
I did not. I seen the first one. I'm like you. I'm not a big sequel guy. I like the originals a lot better.
Me too.
Here's my thing. 1989, 1990, there was a trade from the Cowboys to the Vikings for a ransom. Dallas built the Super Bowl champion many, many, many years. I understand you have to have a partner, a trading partner, to do this. So my first thought was we trade for like a Josh Allen. We give up 5 first-round picks. I understand that these other teams are not going to do this, but it's the theory of doing something different. We did it 1 year with Minka. We gave up a coveted first-round pick for an all-pro at the time that I don't think we're willing to change. But we need to, Joe, we need to do something different. What is the sense of why have T.J. Watt? Because they want him to be a one-helmet guy. Rod Woodson wasn't a one-helmet guy, and he's in a Hall of Fame, and he came back as a Steeler. So that's my thing. I don't know why can't we trade. The Rams did it recently. They sold the farm and won a Super Bowl.
Detroit everything they needed to be a Super Bowl contender, so both worked out. You can make a trade that's actually good for both. You know, and I agree with that. I totally do. I think if you're going to – listen, I understand why they value these one-helmet guy conversations. I get it. But to your point, there are others, too, who go to different teams and they still come back at the end and identify more with the Steelers than those other franchises. So, you know, if you're not going to win playoff games, then you have to do something to change the direction. And if that means doing something that really goes against your principles, you have to do it once in a while. You have to.
It's called risk.
Bob, real quick. Bob.
Yeah.
Just as comment. So a first-round draft choice is a guess. You are guessing. It may not work out. So why not go trade a couple picks to a proven commodity? Again, you need to have a trading partner. I get it. You got to have somebody willing.
Are you specifically talking about quarterback here?
Yes. I am.
Okay, well,
these guys aren't on the block. Nobody's going to trade Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow,
Justin Herbert, any of them.
Any of them. They're not. So
really,
we can dream about such. Now a legitimate trade could be out there. Like, you always have to be open. Like,
well,
Jared Goff trade. Yeah.
And boy, did they get Detroit really made out on that. And I haven't won yet. But they're in a position to win.
They're fine.
Yes.
They're fine.
And Rams got a Super Bowl out of it.
Rams got a Super Bowl, and they're always in it. Again, these teams belong. The Rams belong on that stage. They have a legit shot to win. The Steelers are imposters. They're double-digit underdogs when they get there, usually making it by one game, and then they get blown off the field. Nobody takes them seriously as a contender. The Rams, the Texans, the Ravens, the Bills, the Eagles, all these teams belong when they get there. They're a threat The Steelers are none.
But again, I go back to something I told you a couple of weeks ago, and I believe this because I think teams that do it well, and that's a succession plan. I firmly believe the Steelers did not have a concrete one for Roethlisberger. They hoped they had, but they weren't sure, and you have to go and do stuff that doesn't make sense maybe at the time. When you have an established quarterback, you draft somebody in the first round who can be that guy, even if that guy doesn't like it.
They had a first-round grade on Mason Rudolph,
but he was a third-round pick.
So they said.
But again,
we had this conversation. Who are the team? Who are the examples that had a succession plan and fulfilled it when they had a great quarterback?
Well, Green Bay is the one that stands out.
That's
for
one.
Sure. I'm trying to think of other teams that had done similar things. Help me out here, Limits. Are there teams?
That's about it.
There's a couple of others
where you can credit them for foresight, like the
Flacco and Jackson.
Yeah, Flacco and Lamar. I'll give you that.
Well, what's the difference between that?
Flacco was coming off an 11 touchdown to no interception, and he was.
What's the difference between that and the Steelers either drafting Rudolph or Pickett? They were trying to draft a guy to replace him. The Ravens got lucky with the 32nd pick.
The Pickett, well, not lucky. They saw him as somebody who could come in.
And the Steelers saw Pickett as that.
Yeah, but only after duress.
I don't know that drafting a guy is necessarily a succession plan when that guy's pretty much done.
It's a succession plan when you do it before the guy is done.
So because the Ravens...
Flacco still had football in him, and they drafted Lamar Jackson. I'm saying Green Bay twice did it, and it's helped them. Now, they haven't won either. So if
Green Bay drafted a guy and made him sit for years, times.
That's a plan.
That's a plan. The Ravens went with a guy in his rookie year. I mean...
All right.
Because Lamar is better than those,
it's difficult to do, but you have to have a little bit more foresight into this, I think.
Kansas City was doing it with Mahomes. I mean, Alex Smith was getting into the playoffs, and they drafted Mahomes, and he sat for a year.
Alex Smith?
Well, I know that,
Alex
but
Smith,
he was
though,
winning
he was,
playoff
said,
games for
I
them.
I said great quarterback succession plan. Like, I'm not... I'll get on the Steelers
but if you
for
were
all
Kansas
kinds
City,
of things. I'm not
if
getting
you were
on
Kansas
them.
City, you probably... You could have gone into this thinking, and they didn't. You could have gone and said, well, we have Alex Smith, we have other needs. We'll take Terrell Edmonds.
No, they saw they were never going to win a title with Alex Smith, which is what all of America saw. He had no touchdowns in the game against the Steelers.
But the point is they decided to make a move. In the first round, they traded up to do it to get it. A lot of teams didn't have Patrick Mahomes in the first pick. 9 teams passed on him. My point is you have to look a little bit deeper, I think, if you're willing to go this route in a succession plan. I don't think drafting Kenny Pickett, it was more reactionary than it was having a plan.
Do you think the Ravens knew that that Lamar was going to be what he was when they picked him 32nd overall?
I think they had hopes that he could be that man.
I think he was
a Heisman Trophy winner, one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in all the country.
I think the Steelers had hopes that Mason Rudolph would be Ben's successor. They got it wrong.
That's also a danger when you do these things, and if you get it wrong, now you're really going to be hurting yourself, just like Cleveland has hurt themselves time and time again with miscalculating what players are. They should have just kept Baker Mayfield. Instead, they get crazy and want to go after a guy who should never have been given what he was given.
Right.
And now they toil around in just whatever the word I'm looking for.
So what you're saying is that the Steelers should have taken a quarterback in the first round when Ben was 35 or so?
Again, in 2018, Lamar Jackson was available to them. If they were intrigued with him, and I've got to believe they were, they chose not to go in his direction.
They went about 40 picks later, which isn't that long, one round later, basically, and took Mason Rudolph.
But again, 40 picks later is your key. He's third round. You can tell me all you want he has a first round gain. That could be spin city. You know, you can spin it any way you want to spin it. But that's not a first round pick.
I know, but accusing them of not... They got the plan wrong, but they had a plan.
I don't know if that's the right plan.
Well, obviously it wasn't in the end, taking a guy 74th or whatever they took Rudolph. But again.
But this is the bottom line is this is how important a quarterback is to your.
Yes.
Everything should be done so that you do everything to get a quarterback.
Yeah,
you
that's
have
ancient
to have
history. They've had many, many chances now since Ben left to go out and trade for
Which
somebody,
is why
sign
now
somebody, or draft somebody.
They're in a
position
where they can move up if they want to be aggressive.
Yes, they can. And here's a great example of how you have to be willing to move mountains. When you don't have the guy, you have nothing. When you do have the guy, like I said, you build in the pieces around him. You have a chance. The Denver Broncos are a great example of this. They got ripped. Ron, standing across from me, ripped them when they traded for Russell Wilson. They gave up a 22 first round pick, a 22 second round pick, a 22 fifth round pick, a 23 first round pick, and a 23 second round
plus
pick.
Plus three players.
Plus three players, plus this ridiculous salary. They've ruined their franchise. No, I respected them from day one because they swung big time for the fences at the most important position of all. That's A. B, the fact that they swung and missed apparently hasn't hampered them at all because, look, they just got their franchise quarterback. They fell apart when the Russell thing didn't work.
But they got a year under his belt.
And now they have Bo Nix.
And he's going to thrive, I think, because of the year he had being the starter, and they never considered anybody but him.
Right.
We're going to throw you in. You're our guy. This year will help you get us to next year.
Yes. So taking that risk doesn't ruin your franchise necessarily. It doesn't have to. Because you may just sink to bottom and then get your guy
But it is a risky business all the way through. If you don't get the plan right, you suffer. But if you are willing to change it, and apparently the comfort zone is where
suffering
we are here.
Suffering is good. Suffering is good. That's how they got Bo Nix. If you don't get
honestly,
the plan right, you suffer. Good.
I would like to know what people would say. And if you say it now versus going through the process, 5-13 seasons. I think Jim was talking about the fact that it would burn the city down. People would be angry, no doubt. And if you say you would welcome that now, fine. Because I think every team goes through those kind of lulls and changes. But if you're going through it and you complain about it after you said you were okay with it, then you're kind of being disingenuous. You know that it has to happen.
Well, just because you say you're not going to complain about the overall picture doesn't mean there's not room for many criticisms when you go 3-14. Like,
I understand,
you don't give up your card to criticize the Steelers.
But if you're going to go through it, if you're suggesting going all the way down and breaking it up, okay, fine. But if you believe that, then don't be overly critical.
Yeah, that's
of
why
it.
I would come on this station and take all kinds of crap when the Pirates were obviously tanking. And I said, this is good. This is what they need to do.
But then they messed up on their picks.
And it's a long time to stick to that position, and they screwed that up too.
Well,
although they did get Skeens.
Right, but they also have Henry Davis, and that's a coveted pick that I still hope for him. I hope he can be something in this organization because he's too talented not to, I think.
You take big swings to get the guy you need at quarterback, and if you miss, as you said, you'll suffer, and that might be what you need to do.
And
the Broncos are Exhibit A. They gave away their franchise for Russell Wilson.
Right.
It was a disaster, and now they're back in the playoffs with a franchise quarterback.
Right, and here's the thing. Because they're on a young quarterback, they can go out and spend money to support him.
Right, and they're
very
still spending
similar,
Russell money.
And this is where the Pirates have failed so far. I hope it changes. You have Skeens, who's your first-year quarterback. He's not making any money, less than $1 million. This is your chance to go out and spend a whole bunch of money around him and Jared Jones and Chandler.
Your chance, yeah.
Well, it still exists. They got to do it.
Who would you spend it on now? Who's left?
I'll take who's the first baseman from the Mets who hasn't signed yet?
Pete Alonso.
I would have taken him from the beginning.
Yeah.
I just pay. Give me a bat that's going to.
Yes, one bat. Please, one bat.
And then next year, add more bats. You have a window, and so take advantage of the window.
And by the way, speaking of, they'll burn the city down if they go 3-13 3 years in a row. They went 6-10 to get Ben. Then they got him. And I think watching him play, even in that Ravens debacle when he came into the game and replaced Tommy Maddox, I think watching him play, if they had gone 1-15 that year instead of 15-1, I still think people would have been good with going into the next year with, oh my God, this guy's going to be unbelievable at quarterback. Can't wait to see him play. I just think that's a gross misevaluation of what people would be willing to put up with to get the franchise quarterback and make this franchise right. And I think they'd be willing to put up with just about anything compared to this sort of lazy sleepwalking through useless seasons time after time after time. Give me anything. Give me 1-16 compared to this. I think fans agree with that. Let's go back out to the lines, Bob.
All right. Shall we?
Let's go to Dale. He's in Greensburg.
Hi, Dale.
Yes, please. Hey, thanks for having me. I feel we ought to trade our head coach, bring up Smith as a head coach. Then we trade Pickens and we trade J.J. Watt. We let Fields. No, listen, sorry, I know you're laughing.
Well, you said J.J., that's why I'm laughing.
Or sorry, T.J., sorry. And then allow Fields to be the quarterback and see what we can do over the next 2 years with the draft picks that we would accumulate from those folks.
Well, they're not trading Tomlin. They had a great opportunity when the Bears called. It was going to be, or could have been, a win-win-win. Bears win, Tomlin wins, Steelers win. But no, they shut it down right away.
And if that had happened, I don't think they're going to put Arthur Smith in that role.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, what attracts you to Artie Smith as a head coach?
Well, the Jets wanted him, and he's offensive-minded.
That's the first thing against him, is the Jets wanted him, but go ahead.
Okay. But then he is offensive-minded, and he is being paid. The Steelers are not going to get rid of him. You may have to give him a bump in salary, but the Steelers are not going to get rid of him as an offensive coordinator, so you might as well bump him up to head coach for the same 2 years that we have Fields.
Actually,
for.
I see his reasoning, Bob. You want to tank, sir. Is that correct? And you think Artie could help lead the way? Seriously.
He's the tank commander.
I have no idea whether Fields would tank. I mean, if you think about it, we get rid of what do you get for Pickens? A second or a third round pick?
Yeah, round pick for T.J. Watt. Who knows? Maybe one or two first round picks. I'm with you. Everybody talks about how great it would be if the Steelers sunk down 1 year. You have to actually enact that. If you want to call it tanking, go ahead. Or foresight for the future, yes. And then if you want to put a team on the field that can't win a battle and make Artie General Custer, I say yes to that. That's actually a great idea if it could happen, Bob.
He was like, well, we want Artie to be with somebody else and we won't fire him, so let's just promote him. That's the solution.
To tanking, yes.
To tanking, yeah.
Which is what you want them to do.
Yeah, it is. I wouldn't tank, or I wouldn't promote Artie Smith, though, to make that happen.
What if they had approached Tomlin, you guys, at the beginning of this offseason and said, you know what, Mike? I think you would agree, too. This really isn't working, especially to our standard. We haven't been even competitive in a playoff game in 8 years. Just finished 10-8 and got embarrassed on national TV by our rivals. We're going to move in a different direction. We want you as the guy, right? But what we're going to do is trade TJ, trade Minka, trade George, accumulate draft picks, and be willing to take some hits for a year or two, and then we'll make the comeback. Do you want to stay? What do you think Tomlin would have said to that?
I think he probably would have said yes to that. I think he likes it here, and he likes what's here. So I don't think he would sour on that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong with that, but I think he's very comfortable, and maybe that's the wrong word to use because that's what we're talking about, a comfortable situation here. But I think if he would probably relish it. He enjoys talking to all these guys when he goes on these things. If he had guys that he could prop up, new kids coming in, I think he would look at that as a challenge.
I think that's a win-win too. Either he's so competitive that he says, you know what, I respect that decision, Art. Right. I don't want to be part of it, and then you move on. Or that energizes Tomlin and energizes a whole city where you sort of do like what the New York Rangers did. Here's the thing. If Art came out today and said to all of Pittsburgh, you know what? This is not working. We're going to take a couple steps back. Doesn't mean we're going to intentionally lose. Let's put it this way. We're willing to take a few steps back. Mm-hmm. We're going to make some moves that people may term a rebuild, whatever it is, but we're going to revamp here. So we may be looking to trade some popular players. That's what's going to happen over the next year or two. You'd have a ticker tape parade in this town compared to what you have now, which is people, you know, crying in their beers over this team. Just massive depression.
Yeah, I think people get excited when you have different you know, take swings for the fences, as you like to say, and then you bring in draft picks, and all of a sudden they're getting excited about what could be, even though it may not work. But the what could be thing is something that inspires people. They want to see, give me something different here. We got two
something
number one
different.
Picks and two number two picks.
Yes.
What are they going to turn into?
Yes.
How could this, you know? So I get that, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Nor do I. Limits? Do we still have people on the line?
The people are jamming the lines like a traffic jam at 5 o'clock rush hour traffic coming home.
Holy ostrich milk, Bob. I was going to go to
ostrich milk.
Can you milk an ostrich?
Even if you could, why would you want that milk?
I don't know.
I've never had it.
I've never had a glass of milk since I was like 7 years old.
Yeah, when's the last time you had a glass of milk, Bob?
Chocolate milk. I like chocolate milk.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nestle's quick or with syrup?
No.
Or already
formed.
Already formed.
I like milkshakes.
I used to love milkshakes, but now they sit in your gut for a long time. I'm lactose intolerant.
What? You're telling me there's a day that I won't love milkshakes anymore?
You're at a stage where
your metabolism is such that you could do anything you want.
You could do anything you wanted.
But
your
there will come a day when your stomach's going to say, not more, stop, stop, please stop, Austin.
Bob, if I had it like a giant milkshake right now, between now and tomorrow's show, I would have more blowouts than the 07 Patriots. I'm serious about that.
It would go through. I mean, you have to do everything in like moderation as you get older, I think. That's the key. Yeah. You can taste something. You don't have to consume the whole thing, like desserts, for example. I used to love anything, and I eat the whole cheesecake, the whole apple pie. Now I don't do that. Yeah. I just take a couple bites.
More blowouts than the 1960 World Series.
There were a lot of blowouts there.
Three of them, to be exact.
Yep.
More blowouts than the Pirates, the Pirates-Cubs series late last season. I think they were outscored 41-14.
The Diamondback series, too. Remember that? Jock Peterson hit that ball
Jock Peterson.
15 feet away from where I was sitting.